Well, Happy New Year to you. New church year, that is. The season of Advent marks the beginning of a new liturgical year as we look forward to celebrating the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Advent reminds us that history is split into two halves, BC before Christ and AD, the year of the Lord. The time leading up to Jesus' first coming and then the time leading up to his second coming. And so we begin our Advent sermon series entitled Types of Christ. But what on earth does that mean? Well, first of all, a question. What is the Bible all about? For us Christians, it's not just a record of historical events, and it's not just a manual for how to be a good person. The Bible's main theme is that God loves his people by saving them. And that comes ultimately in Jesus. But there are people and events in the Old Testament which foreshadow the great salvation which came through Jesus. Think of it like this. An author or a painter or other artist will create a number of lesser works before they finally do their magnum opus. And if you look back at those earlier works, you'll see themes which come to their completion in the great work. And it's the same with God's salvation. When we look back at the works of salvation which preceded the masterpiece of the cross, we see themes in God's work which culminated in Jesus' death for us. And so, the first work of salvation which we'll look at is one from the first book of the Bible, and that is the flood and Noah's Ark. And we'll see three things about the story of Noah's Ark which will give us insight into salvation of the cross as well as Jesus' second coming at the end of the world. And the first thing is that virtue is not a democracy. In the days of Noah, people were living lives which were reprehensible in the eyes of God. And this wasn't just an extreme fringe, it was pretty much everyone. We're told in Genesis that Noah was the exception in his belief in God and in his righteous living. And I find it interesting that in our day and age, it matters so much what most people think. And I suppose that's natural in a democracy where it's baked into us to respect the majority decision. Consider the last census, for example. For some reason, it's not headline news when 50.1% of the country say they're Christian. But it is when 49.9% say they're Christian. As if that small tip over into not the statistical majority suddenly renders Christianity irrelevant. The fact is that right belief in God has been the majority position throughout most of the world and throughout most of history. It was like that in Jesus' time. When he was on trial, what should have happened? Well, the majority of decent people should have come out in protest at the prospect of an innocent man being executed. But what happened instead? The majority shouted, "Crucify him!" So why should it be any different when the Lord returns, when Jesus comes back? Will he find a decent majority of humans jolly pleased that he has returned to judge the world? I suspect not. So although, of course, we should be doing all we can to share our faith, to spread Christianity, we shouldn't think that the faith is only really succeeding when the majority of people assent to it. And that's shown to us by the fact that most people at Noah's time, in fact all of them apart from him, weren't righteous. And secondly, judgment is both surprising and terrible. God was patient with the evil of Noah's time, but eventually judgment did come. And that judgment was absolutely binary. There was no middle ground, only two outcomes: salvation in the ark or destruction outside of it. And nobody expected that the judgment was coming. Jesus himself tells us they were eating and drinking and marrying, in other words, getting on with everyday life, when the flood suddenly destroyed them. And terrible judgment on evil also came in Jesus' day. It was marked by utter darkness and earthquakes, but this time judgment was not being poured out on sinners, but upon the sinless one. On the cross, Jesus was being judged in our place. The same destructive justice which came in Noah's time against evil also came then, but Jesus took it all unto himself, so that we need never face it. And Jesus makes it clear that there will be judgment once more when he returns, and that it too will be binary, only two outcomes. As he said, two will be out in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Because judgment by definition has no grey areas, the one on trial is either innocent or guilty. The jury doesn't have the option to return a verdict of, well, half and half. Jesus says that like the flood, his return to judge the world will also be surprising. These are his words. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So judgment is sudden and judgment is surprising. And thirdly, salvation is by faith. Noah and his family survived the judgment of the flood because Noah trusted God. God told Noah judgment was coming, and Noah could have looked around him and said, "Don't be silly, I don't believe it. No, it's not. There's not a cloud in the sky." Indeed, that's what everyone else said to Noah when, according to the tradition, he warned them about the impending judgment. It would have seemed so stupid and pointless to them when Noah started building a big boat. But the fact is that Noah's trust in God was more important to him than what other people thought. As far as Noah was concerned, if God said there was going to be a flood, then there was going to be a flood. And so it was Noah's trust in God which ultimately saved him. In the same way, people will laugh at us and mock us for saying Jesus is coming back to judge the world. It seems so stupid and pointless to most people that we insist on putting trust in Jesus' death on the cross. But the fact is that Jesus is the ark. It is only in him that we will make it through judgment when he returns. And it's not enough to pay lip service to this. We need to actually get into the ark, as it were. Noah's kids could have said, yeah, Dad, yeah, we'll get in the ark when the time comes, sure. But if they had only said that and not done it when the flood came, we all know what the outcome would have been. Getting into the ark when it comes to Jesus means actually trusting in his death for us, being united to him spiritually by confessing our sins, recognizing our need for a saviour, and asking him to forgive us and come into our lives. Because as we've seen, it's in his death that he takes the judgment in our place. Advent is a time of expectation, but it's also a time of exaltation. We live in the period when making a choice about Jesus is still possible, but the moment he appears, it will be too late to choose. One will be taken and the other will remain. So let us all be like Noah and brave the mockery of the world around us and get into the ark, putting our whole trust in the one who, in his love for us, suffered judgment so that we need never face it ourselves.